Today, we are also going to talk about boot camp for Christians. All right? Of course, when we talk about boot camp, usually, you know, all these things comes to mind where there will be extensive punishment, where there will be a lot of things going on to shape your character and your personality. But today, you know, as we look at the boot camp, I think the senior group will agree with me that it is a little bit more lenient than what the army is going through. All right, so from the day 8, March 8, which is a Friday, the homeschool and the 15KL company, they had a boot camp upstairs, and they are going to conclude it later. And in each company, there's a flag. We call it the colors. And this is the flag upon we march, right? This is the flag upon we march. Usually in the country, we have a country flag. And in the 15KL company, we do have a flag representing us. Now, in terms of boot camp, there is certain purposes, right? There are few purposes of a boot camp. One, if you like, the word programming. It is to program and to get the people ready and to understand what they are getting into. So for Boys Brigade, we have a certain program for them that will introduce the syllabus for them, which I will go through briefly in a while. So that is the purpose, one of the purpose of boot camp, which is to program, to introduce, to educate, and to prepare the people involved. Now, second purpose of a boot camp is usually for correctional. That means it is to align whatever that is wrong in our lives to what is supposed to be. In our case, we have the Bible as a guide. So boot camp can be one that is correctional in nature. And of course, the last one, purpose of boot camp could be for physical training. And of course, that is not our purpose for boot camp, and especially for boot camp for Christians today, where we don't have physical training as per se. All right? So the syllabus covered for the boot camp is that we introduce them to what Boys Brigade is all about, the history of it. We have introduced them the Boys Brigade object, why Boys Brigade is here, and the emblem of it. And we introduce to them the company, organization, the rank, the uniform, the polishing, the award scheme, the BB songs, the drill, citizenship, and Christian education. Now, likewise, in our boot camp for Christians, you do notice that the Bible is our sole source of authority, and we get all this information from the Bible. So we have the history of Jesus, history of Christianity, if you like to say it, which starts about 2,000 years ago. And of course, we have the history of mankind that started back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We also have the history of rather what is to come back in Revelation. So we have the whole Bible in that sense that will prepare the Christians in a search boot camp. We have our object, the Great Commandment and Great Commission, why we are called to be here today as a Christian. And we have our company organization or the church organization in that sense. We have our uniform, how we behave is our uniform. How do we love one another is our uniform. How do we show patience and all this is our uniform to the world who have yet to know Jesus Christ. So as we look at our passage this morning, there are three areas that we can look at that will help us to understand what boot camp for Christians are all about. So if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This version is taken from the New Living Translation, NLT. Let me read to you. But thank God, God has made us His captives and continue to lead us along with in Christ's triumphal procession. Now God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. In verse 16, to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. So three different parts for our boot camp. If you are Christians, you should be aware of these three parts. The first part is called procession. This can be found in verse 14. The second one is presence, verses 15 to 16b. And lastly is the profession, verses 16c to 17. All right, so let's go through one by one. Procession. This is found in verse 14. Let me read to you again. Thank God. God has made us his captives and continue to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. And now God uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Now, procession, what do we mean? Or what is the word procession means? Now, for the Boys Brigade, we have the drill. We have the guard of honor. So when we have the National Day, some of the companies, they will come together and they will march, representing the Boys Brigade platoon or company. Alright, so procession is several people, in this case a lot of people, or vehicles moving forward in an orderly fashion, especially as a part of a ceremony. So for the Boys Brigade, we have the guard of honor, we have the ceremonial duty, where we have the uncovering and the covering of the colors and all this stuff. But in our Christian faith, there is this time back in the Roman Empire, right? There was this thing called the Roman Triumph during the Roman Empire time. And Paul was referring to this Roman Triumph when he wrote this part of the passage. Now, it goes something like this. If a commander-in-chief, as they go to war, after they fought the war, and they won a complete victory over the enemy on a foreign soil, that means as they go out and they conquer a new land, and if this commander-in-chief, he killed at least 5,000 enemy soldiers, and out of that war, he gained a new territory for the Roman Emperor, then this commander-in-chief, this captain, was entitled to this Roman triumph. Now, the procession, as the winning company comes back in, it will include the commander riding in a golden chariot surrounded by his officers. So if you can see there, it is towards the left of the picture. It is surrounded by his officers, golden chariot. And if you notice around them, it includes a display of the spoils of battle, whatever they have gained from the battle, as well as the captives, enemy soldiers, people that they have conquered but not killed yet. Many fall in the battle, but for those surviving enemy soldiers, they will capture them back and they have something in store for them. Now, the Roman priests, if you notice at the front of the parade, they will also be in the parade and they will be carrying burning incense to pay tribute to the victorious army. Now, that is not the end. That is just the beginning of the Roman triumph. They will continue to parade in the city until they reach this point or this place that is known Circus Maximus. The procession will end at the Circus Maximus, where the helpless captives would entertain the people in the capital city by fighting with wild beasts. For those who are captive, who have been captured, death is imminent. It's either they die in the battlefield or they die fighting with the wild beast. Now, it was a very special day in Rome because the citizens were treated to a full-scale Roman triumph. So when the procession come until this point, when they will be seated around the Colosseum, they will be able to see and be entertained. And this was what happened about 2,000 years ago. Now, so how does this piece of history apply to the burdened believers today? Now, of course, we are not asking you to go around and kill people, bringing them, you know, to be entertained in such a way to humiliate them and to cause them suffering. If you notice, God has made us his captives. So instead of us being captives to sin, where the consequences of sin is eternal death, separation from God for all eternity, God has made us captives, if you look at it, As a master, we are the slave. But as God, the Abba Father, and we, His children. And as we follow upon Christ's triumphant procession, we are following behind Christ, our great commander-in-chief. Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. And if you notice, or if you remember, He came to this foreign soil, this earth, about 2,000 years ago. And He completely defeated the enemy, Satan, by dying on the cross, was buried 3 days, and 3 days later, He resurrected from the grave. He has conquered death, the consequence of sin. Now, instead of killing 5,000 people, Jesus Christ gave life to more than 5,000 people. We are looking at just the Pentecost and right after Pentecost, where He has, there were about 3,000 who converted at the Pentecost time, and shortly after that, 2,000 more. And today we have Christians all over the world, and we are, and we belong to Jesus Christ, our great commander-in-chief. The second good news is this. The victorious general sons will walk behind their father's chariot. So if Jesus Christ is our great commander, we are standing behind the chariots, we are following the chariots, we are sharing Jesus Christ's victory. So if you are a believer today, we are following in Christ's triumph today. And Jesus Christ has already claimed the spoils of battles, the lost souls who have been in bondage to sin and Satan. So this is the victory that all believers whom we claim are Christians, we have orders. So instead of, being fearful of what life is coming, we are to be reminded that our identity today is that we belong to God. We are children of God. So therefore, we do not fight for victory. We do not fight so that we can have victory. We are fighting because we have already won the battle. There's two different things. We have already won the battle, and we are continuing to fight for Jesus Christ. We are not fighting so that we win. Jesus Christ has won, and therefore we continue to fight. We continue to share the gospel to the people. So this is the identity that we have in Christ. And so how many of us, as we leave the hall every Sunday morning, do we leave the hall with our heads high up, chin up, like the boys begin as they fall in the sedia position? Or as we leave the hall, we are like this, thinking about the fear, the challenges, the suffering that is to come in the coming week. Are we victorious in nature? Are we leaving this place recharged, knowing that we, again and again, through the songs that we sing, through the message that was being preached, we are being reminded that we have won the battle. Secondly, we have a presence. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Now, presence. Now, when we talk about fragrance, presence, I'm not asking you to smell your neighbor. No. Especially for the boys and girls, after drill, after their physical training, they smell. We are not talking about that kind of fragrance here. We are talking about a certain presence. That as Christians, we have a certain presence in our circle of influence. And presence can be defined as a state or the fact of existing. It is an occurring or a being present, being there. Physically. So when we talk about presence today, we look at internet, we talk about Zoom meetings, so we are in a way blurred because we are there, but we are not there. The physical presence is what we are talking about today, where you are there and you are making a certain impact and influence over to your friends, your family, your parents, and your circle of influence. Now, how does this part come about? If you notice, as I mentioned earlier, that there were Roman priests who burned the incense in the parade, and they are standing at the front. And as the parade, as the procession continue on, there are certain smell, the fragrance that was given off by the incense. And this incense, as the people, two different groups of people, one who are victorious, the commander-in-chief and those who belong to him, and the second group are the captives, the enemy who was captured from the battlefield. Two different groups. So for the first group, who have already claimed victory, to them, this fragrance meant life and victory. However, for the other group that was captured, doom, defeat, death awaits them. Because eventually they will end up in Circus Maximus, where they will have a face-off with the wild beasts. So for the triumphant soldiers, prayerfully, all Christians, we belong to this group. It is a reminder for each and every one of us that it means life and victory. And prayerfully, for those who have yet to know who Jesus is, it's going to smell to them. They will not agree to our worldview of, you know, life after death. They will not agree to our worldview and our moral standard. Why should we behave graciously, mercifully to the people around us when they have screwed up in a way? The world may not understand all this, but we are called to be triumphant. We are called to be victorious, and we are called to continue to spread this fragrance so that we can represent God in the best way manner. And so in other words, our Christian life, our Christian ministry are matters of life and death. Our identity shows people that we are alive. It shows to our fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters, that we belong together, we are alive together, and we are looking forward to the day that Jesus is coming back. For the other group, when brothers and sisters come together, and the people who have yet to know who God is, they will think that we smell. They don't want to be near us. Simply because of different worldview, on how we behave, because we have chosen to follow the Bible and the Scripture. So the world that we live and work can mean life or death to a lost world around us. There are only two outcomes. Jesus Christ, who can either count it precious and accepted, Jesus Christ, who can could either be loved as the light of the world, or Jesus Christ could be unworthy and rejected by the world and hated as the light of condemnation. There's only two responses to who Jesus is in the world today. Are we being the light of the world? Are we smelling, giving off fragrance like one that is of Christ? And lastly, profession. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hungsters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. We are called as a Christian not only to march off this place victorious, not only to give off a fragrance to show that the Christian is present in a certain circle. We are also called to profess, to proclaim, to say out, to share. And how do we share? Professing is to affirm one's faith or allegiance to a religion or to a set of belief. It is to say that, you know, I am a Christian. It is to say to your friends, to your parents, to your siblings, to your colleagues and your workplace that you are a believer of God. And because you are a believer of God, you can process with your head held high. You can continue to give off fragrance of Christ. That is not enough, brothers and sisters. as a Christian and as the boot camp for Christians, we are not only to go out to live a life that is victorious. We are not only called to live a life that is influential. We are called to live a life that is professing, that we need to tell the people who Jesus is, what our faith is all about. And there are conditions to this. There are three conditions for our profession. It has to be sincere. It has to be sincere. Some of us, we may mock others, you know, because the way of the world is never right in the sight of God. So the way that we do things, the way that we say things, the way that we relate to people, even though we want to share the gospel to them, we may come out sounded negative, repulsive to the world. So pray that we, as we profess our faith, we are entitled or we season it with sincerity, with the hope that to serve God and to help the doing good works. Because we ourselves must be an example by doing good works. Not only to share, but only to be and to be part of the good works. And let everything that you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of our teaching. So if we say that we believe in God, we have to live like it. We have to give off the fragrance like it. We have to say things that is in line with what the scripture says. And secondly, we are called with Christ's authority. When we say that, we understand that we are living by the grace and by the strength of God. And we are called to live a life that is holy. And lastly, the three conditions for profession is that we are to be conscious of God's presence. How many of us are instantly or constantly or at all times understand and know that God is with you? That at all times, you know that God will never leave you, even though you feel that you are at the end of your rope, you're at the deepest valley of your life, that your family is not working out, your parents are arguing, in the midst of divorce, divorcee perhaps. Are you always conscious of God's presence in our life? As a believer, I want to assure that God sees us in our every need. God knows what we need. And in the scripture, God has already reminded us again and again that He will take care of us. He will look after us. And He has gone before us to prepare the way for us. And being aware and being conscious of God's presence also means that God sees everything we do, and we are aware of that. And because we know and we are conscious of God's presence, that is why we are walking. We are living carefully and righteously. Not so that we can end up in heaven, but so that we can show our love to God by obeying Him through the scripture. We know that it is wrong to talk bad behind others. And because we know that, and because we are conscious of God's presence, that God is always looking at us, at everything we do, we will be careful at how we speak, how we relate to one another, how we show love to one another, and prayerfully all this will make us ready to go out and shine for Jesus. So again, the three things. So if you have already practiced these three in your life, then I would like to congratulate you that you have, in a way, successfully completed the boot camp for Christians. Whereas you leave the church, whereas you leave your home, whereas you move about in your daily life, you are walking with your chin up high, knowing that you are victorious in Christ. If you have already shown off your presence by having the fragrance of Christ, then congratulations, you have completed the second part of this boot camp for Christians, where your presence actually brings encouragement to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, But in another way, it is repulsive to the people who have yet to know God. And lastly, if you have been consistently professing your faith to the people around us by your words and by your action, again, I congratulate you because you have completed the third part of the boot camp for Christians. Is there any part in our lives that we are not moving? Are we still living our day defeated? Then perhaps we should look at how we can be reminded that we are victorious in Christ again and again through the Scripture. Or is it perhaps that we have not been giving up, not been living out a Christian life? The people around us never smell anything that is Christ-like from us. If that is so, perhaps it is time for you to take a bath. Use the soap from the Scripture, soap it all around, make sure you are giving off the fragrance of Christ as you leave the home and shine for Christ. And if you are finding challenges in professing our faith for God, look into the Scripture and learn how to communicate love in a healthy manner, so that together we can profess who Jesus is, and through our profession, people around us who have yet to know Christ can learn about who Jesus is. And prayerfully, one day, they too can give off the fragrance of Christ because they have made the decision to know Jesus. Today we are hanging a banner. Not a banner per se. We are marching off with a flag. 15 Kuala Lumpur have their own color. Jesus Christ is our banner. He is our commander-in-chief, and we are marching along victorious. Let this be a reminder for each and every one of us today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that there are times where we are beaten down, where we are defeated, because of the world and the worldview that is so powerful that may seem to encapsulate us. But Lord, we want to come back before you and come back to your promises and of your reminder that, Lord, we are victorious. We have already won the battle because Christ, you have risen from the dead. And because of that, Lord, we can process, we can go out, we can march out in our lives knowing that, Lord, we have been victorious in Christ. And Lord, because we are victorious, we pray that you will help us to continue to show off a presence, a fragrance in Christ, that we are giving out sweet aroma, sweet fragrance, especially to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as we communicate, as we encourage one another with testimonies of your goodness. But Lord, at the same time, you also reminded us that we are a fragrance of death and doom to those who are defeated and perishing. And prayerfully, Lord, you will help us to make sure that we are able to continue with giving off fragrance, whether it is of life or of death. And Lord, we ask that you also help us to be bold in our profession, that as we profess of our love for you, that as we profess of that we belong to you, Lord, the people around us, prayerfully, they will get to see who you are in our lives, and that our testimony will be one that is so great that we draw the people to know you. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in the lives of those who have yet to know you. We pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, you work and soften the hearts of the people, that when the gospel reaches them, Lord, it will take seed, it will grow, it will germinate, and Lord, they will receive it well and make the decision to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we want to uphold, we want to commit, we want to submit, and we want to surrender all parts of our hearts to you this morning. That, Lord, if there's any part of us that is not giving off the fragrance, we pray that, Lord, you will take charge. You will take charge. And make sure that, Lord, we shine for you. And we want to thank you for the time of worship. We want to thank you for the preaching of your word. And we pray that, Lord, you will help us to finish off our boot camp so that, Lord, we can continue to shine for you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.